Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Toby Webb, and I am delighted that joining me in today's podcast is Niels Herman Ranum, who is from the Rainforest Foundation in Norway. So welcome to the podcast, Niels. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine. A little bit warm, but I'll survive.
Yes, it's 34 degrees today here in Brussels at our biofuels conference, which is titled Are Biofuels Sustainable? And that's riled up a few people in preparation for the conference. But we've had a really interesting debate today about feedstocks, about indirect land use change, about food for fuel. Remember that, everyone. And other issues around biofuel sustainability. We've talked about heavy transport, we've talked about airlines and also ethanol for vehicles. So Niels, tell us a bit about what you're doing at Rainforest Foundation Norway and how you ended up at this conference. And then we'll talk a bit about what you've taken away from today.
I can first say that Rainforest Foundation Norway is of course then a Norwegian-based organization. The main activity of my organization is working together with local civil society partners and indigenous peoples organizations in rainforest countries with the combined objective of saving forests and securing the rights and livelihood of those people living and depending on those forests. My part of the organization is more on the demand side, what is driving deforestation around the world, and that gave us, in a way, an entry point into the biofuel debate. As we've seen that, especially for a feedstock like palm oil, the expected increase in demand will more likely come from biofuel policies than for food that has dominated the debate. So that's the reason why I entered the biofuel world, is basically looking at feedstock driving deforestation, and unfortunately we found a few.
So you've been campaigning for a while in Norway about the Norwegian policy of putting palm oil into vehicles. What was the situation there and how has that changed as a result of your campaigning and the concerns of others?
Norway probably has one of the most ambitious biofuel policies in the world, with a combination of a blending mandate that will increase to 20% biofuels by next year, combined with tax exemption. As a result of that, and more advanced technology in the production of, in particular, HVO, which you can make of any feedstock, we saw that the imports of palm oil-based biofuels increased dramatically. And as a result, in 2017, 10% of all diesel sold in Norway, all the diesel combined, was based on palm oil. And what you know is that that increased demand, that actually leads to more deforestation, even if every single drop of the palm oil may be deforestation free. The increased demand drive expansion of the palm oil industry into new forest areas. So we started a campaign on that, resulting in actually a fairly good outcome, I would say. One thing is that the parliament passed a decision to exclude all high deforestation risk biofuels from the Norwegian biofuel policy. 4 out of 5 of the fuel retailers in Norway have now said that committed to stop selling palm oil-based biofuel. A lot of that has now been replaced by advanced biofuels. So I think this is certainly a good outcome for the environment.
I understand that you may not want to distinguish between good and bad palm oil in order not to be seen to be encouraging the development of palm oil as a sector. But what about the notion of smallholders? Smallholder farmers get romanticized as struggling people we must help. And in fact, if you've been to a smallholder farm, I'm sure you realize that they are really struggling in almost all cases. But then equally, smallholder farmers in Indonesia and Malaysia, particularly Indonesia, are in many cases causing more of the deforestation than bigger palm oil companies. So where do you sit on smallholder farmers supplying palm oil in general?
Kind of start a little bit with the good versus bad palm oil. We are not an organization that have been against palm oil as such. So you need to look at what are the use of palm oil and is that meeting the desired outcome. And for biofuel policies, the key thing is that the whole objective of biofuel policies is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And given that palm oil is crop where you see continued expansion into forest areas, the climate impact of palm oil as feedstock for biofuel is even worse than fossil diesel, and thus it's not suitable with the current expansion rate. It's not suitable as a biofuel feedstock. And that's the main argument that we have been making, is that for a biofuel policy, this doesn't work.
Isn't that a bit simplistic, though? Because you could argue that about almost anything, and almost everything can be unsustainable. Why not seek out the better, good example palm oil? wrong, and promote that and make it very clear the distinction between that and bad palm oil, for example, let's say companies expanding into places like West Papua. That's a very different set of operating circumstances from other parts of Indonesia or Malaysia, isn't it?
Yeah, but all palm oil sold on the European market has to meet the sustainability criteria of the European Commission. So all palm oil sold at the European market as biofuel needs to be deforestation free. It is the strictest standard, but still the way economy work and demand driven is that as long as you then expand the demand, and almost half of all new expansion of palm oil plantations is into forest land or peatland, by increasing demand, you will continue indirectly to driving more deforestation. That's the main argument against kind of looking at the economics of this, against palm oil as feedstock for biofuel. But that being said, it still exists a theoretical option where you could have the really good production. And the EU has said that they will open up for this as a kind of low ILUC certification, where one key criteria is that if this production wasn't economically viable without being sold at biofuel feedstock, then it will be allowed into the market. So then you can produce sustainable palm oil that can be used as a feedstock for biofuel, and then you have an added value. But if what's happening more today is that the palm oil that food companies like Unilever or Nestle or others want to buy as deforestation-free palm oil, that's being sucked up by the biofuel market because there you have the mandatory sustainability criteria.
And are you a fan of certification as a way of enhancing or creating credibility? I mean, on palm oil for food, certification schemes have long-standing controversies with environmental NGOs, campaigners, and so on. What's to say that the certification systems for low indirect land use change palm oil for fuel will be any different?
I think you cannot say whether you're pro or against certification as such. It depends on the standards. Very supportive of strict standards that are adhered to. And the problem with certification, for example, palm oil for food, is that the standard wasn't sufficiently high and it wasn't adhered to. RSPO has made some major improvements, so we'll see how that works out. And the details of the biofuel certification is also still kind of fairly unclear, so I'll wait a little bit before I judge, but I'm cautious and critical, but I don't kind of reject it as a concept, to put it that way.
So moving to the conference more broadly, you've been sitting here today listening to conversations about what makes biofuels sustainable or can make biofuels sustainable. And it's not just about palm oil. In fact, most biofuels in Europe is not palm oil related. It comes from ethanol. And then, of course, we have sugarcane being imported into the UK, or which is turned into ethanol before it comes in, or perhaps afterwards. What's your takeaway from today's conference? What do you feel like you will go home to Oslo and feel like you've learned?
I think it's very important for those of us who work on, for example, biofuels, but with a kind of limited approach in a way. My approach is deforestation and the role biofuels may play in deforestation, and having a wider understanding of what are different actors, whether they produce biofuels or whether they use biofuels or whatever, what are the level of thinking. I think it's absolutely needed for me to do a good job on my thing. What I'm taking home is that, luckily, we've had some discussion beyond palm oil here. I think there is a lot of concern that soy in particular, but also first generation biofuels is my take on message. It's not many people here that look upon that as a huge part of the solution. That's positive. It's certainly many people that want to use the advanced biofuels. And the problem is that it's probably more people wanting to use it than the available feedstock. It's not enough waste and residue for all of us, to put it that way.
That seems like it could be an ongoing problem, right? Demand will grow. All the projections seem to show that it's about some non-food cellulose that will be turned into ethanol. But it does seem like there's an ongoing supply problem, which will only get greater. Is that your understanding?
Yeah. The aviation industry, they want advanced biofuels. The shipping industry wants advanced biofuel. The road transport sector, they want advanced biofuels. For each little piece of that, we will applaud that. But looking at all these desires together, I think it doesn't add up with the available feedstock. So we certainly have a problem with the resources that are going to move us or commodities from one place to another.
Do you think we should then pin our hopes on breakthrough technologies? You know, I've come across someone recently saying they're trying to produce synthetic palm oil. We've heard about the potential of algae for years. ExxonMobil seems to have spent about a decade advertising their investments in algae-based alternative oils. Do you have some optimism that that might happen?
I have some optimism that there will be smaller breakthroughs on several areas. I don't expect the one big solution, but I think that with some algae production, with some yeast and kind of different ways that it adds resources to the transport sector, I also believe that electrification, where that is possible, is a thing that we should go for, although that isn't unproblematic either.
It has to be generated from something.
Yeah, and the minerals that we use in our batteries need to come from somewhere. Mining is not unproblematic. So what should I say? Take home message is that most likely I will have work also the coming 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years.
At least. We'll leave it there. But listeners, if you want to know more about Rainforest Foundation Norway, check them out on the internet. They do some very interesting research. And Niels, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.